Gopi Gita. As much as possible, we will try to present what each of the distraught gopis spoke to reveal their natural sentiments. Of course, even Brihaspati, the guru of the devatas, would not attempt such a task which requires realization of Sringara Ras, the highest form of transcendental love. O Rasika Vaishnavas, please do not make fun of my boldness. This is an attempt to curb the pride of the so-called scholars of Ras. I commit no offense in doing so, for though a person may be very unqualified, insignificant, and prematurely eager, he can still aspire to taste that rarest sweet substance of love. The most beautiful of all the gopis spoke first. Alas, O Krishna Chandra, you should not deliberately hurl us into lamentation with your harsh words, which burn our hearts like a painful ulcer. To please the earth, the cloud showers rain, not poison. Your words are illogical and senseless. When it gets a chance to drink water from a cloud, even a lowly chatuki bird gives up his friends and relatives just as one vacates a dark hole. Though angry, some other gopis spoke pleasing words in a humorous tone. You have taught us that the proper duty of a woman is to serve her husband, sons, and friends. As a siksha guru, may you keep that instruction to yourself, for your teaching does not apply to women like us. As Krishna previously spoke with hidden meanings, the gopis also have inner meanings to their statements given here. The inner meaning to the previous sentence is, first, you lure us innocent girls into a lonely forest at night, and then you act like a guru giving instructions about duty? Then Krishna replies, are you telling a hidden joke? The gopi responds, this is not a joke. One gopi said, O Madhusudana, the aspersions you cast on us are simply comical. Who is the lord of one who rejects her husband? You could say that the son of another wife would take that role, but we never accept that. O lord of all creation, O ocean of perfect qualities whose feet are worshipped by Lakshmi, you are the real master of all women. No one but you can kill the enemy of our mental anguish. Another gopi said, O dear one, any intelligent person is attracted to you, the soul of the three worlds. What intelligent woman will worship her husband, sons, or friends who are merely temporal beings producing various miseries? Worshipping you is the best path both for a simple or cultured person. O remover of misery, you manifest unlimited variety in your personality. You alone attract our minds and should be our master. In comparison with you, the sweetest nectar means nothing to us. Be pleased with us, for those who have surrendered unto you should not lose spirit and sink into lamentation. We have come to you in the prime of our youth. Do not cut down the tender creepers of our desires, which are as fresh as lotus petals covered with dew. Someone else said, O Hari, after stealing our hearts, you have brought us here. How can we return to Braja? O Lord, our feet refuse to move one step from your lotus feet. O gallant thief, it is not proper for you to create a drought, for it will dry up the crops of dignity in the minds of married women. One other gopi said, wash off the dirt of this duplicitous joking. Sprinkle nectar on our lips, which are burning like fire and are as red as ripe bimba fruits. Quickly extinguish the fire caused by your cruel, exasperating words. By giving up our bodies in the fire of disappointment, which were kindled by the wood of your indifference toward us because of our improper desires, we will receive new bodies to attain your association. Then you will repent for murdering innocent women. In any case, whether we are accepted or rejected by you, we will experience suffering because of the fear of separation from you. Some other gopis said, O one crowned with a peacock feather, since we have already felt unlimited bliss from touching your lotus feet once before, we have no attraction for any other man. You are eternally situated as the perfect form and shelter of matchless beauty. We attain so much pleasure upon meeting you that we cannot think of touching another person. Therefore, please accept us. after crossing the material realm in order to enjoy with you, we do not deserve to suffer in agony. Being dear to the residents of Vrindavan, you should protect your loving servants. In the mood of reverential servants, the Shrutichari Gopis said, in this Vrindavan, married women are attracted to your lotus feet, just as Lakshmi Devi and Vaikuntha, though situated on your chest, must compete with Tulsi Devi to worship you. O deliverer of distressed and surrendered souls, do not abandon us. Having similar desires, the Munichari Gopis said, O ocean of mercy, we left our houses and came to you. Be pleased with us whose minds are agitated due to the intoxicating bliss of tasting the petals of your lotus feet. O crest jewel of all men, you have purchased us with your reddish lips, sparkling smile, pleasing youthful appearance, and your nectarian words which have the power to destroy any amount of pain. Now engage us in your service. Our minds have become strong from receiving the merciful sidelong glances of your reddened eyes. Other gopis with desires similar to the Shrutichari gopis said, we have become very greedy to please you after seeing your sweet lips, nectarian smile, and the swinging jeweled earrings reflected on your cheeks. Our hankering to serve you has been further enhanced by seeing your pink lotus hands and your splendid arms which extend to your knees and which can deliver anyone from fear. Please restore our lives with the honey of your sweet smile. Immediately embrace us in your mind as we are filled with love in the mood of your servants. Then the Nichasiddha Gopis said, O opulent one who bestows all auspiciousness, O jewel among men, you are the abode of all good qualities. Since you are all attractive, what fault is there then if we are attracted to you? Upon hearing the sound of the flute, what woman in the three worlds would not become attracted? O glorious and beautiful one, who would not be lured from their position of chastity? Who would not sacrifice their character and give up the reputation of their family? Since you are the cause of all wonder in the eyes of the three worlds, the reservoir of all auspiciousness, the shelter of absolute beauty, the sweetest of the sweet, and the pleasurable object of all the endeavors of young women, even the female deer, birds, and animals become struck with love and show goosebumps on their bodies upon seeing you. Again the Shruti Gopis spoke, O Great One, it is well known that you destroy the suffering of the inhabitants of Vrindavan. You are the origin of Narayan and the protector of the Devatas. You cannot reject us, therefore, after we have come to you in the middle of the forest. O friend of the distressed, do not be so stubborn. O ocean of mercy, please place your cooling lotus hands on our burning breasts and heads and remove the pain in our hearts. Delight our minds. May you be successful in removing all the pain from our hearts caused by your indifference. What more can be said? Then Radhika's inner circle of friends spoke to Krishna. After putting the bait of conjugal affairs on the hook of your flute song, you pulled us here with the rope of your good qualities. Then after piercing us with the rod of harsh words, you roasted us in the fire of indifference. Please tell us why you did this. Krishna replied, My dear gopis, I play on my flute because of the boundless nature of my bliss. It is not my fault if married women become agitated by the sound. Why are you finding faults in my flute, which comes from a pure family? It is not crooked, but naturally straight and free from knots throughout its length. The gopis said, You are at fault, because when playing the flute, you call out each of our names. Krishna defends himself by saying, No, I do not blow into the flute at all. The wind blows through the flute by itself and makes a sound. On its own, the flute clearly calls out your names because it knows all of you. The gopis replied, Even so, it is your fault. As you are a respectable personality, you should not associate with this unworthy flute. The flute has many holes, faults, its limbs are hard, and it is hollow inside. Obviously, your flute is not born in a good family, and with its extremely talkative nature, it ruins the reputation of others. Therefore, your flute is not qualified to talk with cultured persons such as ourselves. Krishna said, O gopis, I see your great boldness in belittling the constant companion of my lotus hands. This flute is the very form of bliss and knowledge. It is the essence of all sound, the goddess of music, and the cream of the Vedas and Upanishads. Out of great love for me, it has taken on a curious body with 9 holes. Although the wordplay of Radhika's associates had reached its limits, Krishna, brimming with the greatest eagerness, persisted in delivering clever retorts. When the gopis, the perfect embodiments of Ras, detected a slight smile on Krishna's face, they understood that the indifference of the crest jewel of wit had come to an end. Full of desire to enjoy, that conqueror of 1,000 cupids used the limit of intelligence to present crazy, illogical arguments. Feeling self-satisfied, Krishna smiled and immediately caressed the best of the gopis. Following the elephant of desire, he entered the midst of the gopis and sported here and there in the ocean of their attraction. At that time, the birds loudly sang, "Victory, victory!" The creepers smiled and the leaves of the trees stood on end. Eager to talk among their friends, the female deer gathered in groups to marvel at the scene. The joyous flowers moistened the earth with their tears of dripping nectar. In the battle of love, the gopis, being completely endowed with prema, served as wish-fulfilling gems satisfying Krishna's every desire for rasa. Being free from anger and full of all wonderful qualities, the selfless gopis united in friendship. Seeing Nandanandana anxious to play with the gopis, Brindadevi and Arvana Devis, the birds, beasts, and trees submerged in an ocean of nectarian rasa. It seemed that they now emerged from that ocean with new bodies after having perished in the fire of separation from Krishna. Appearing like a powerful new cloud, surrounded by a garland of lightning, Krishna and the sweet-faced gopis flooded all directions with waves of bliss as they played together. Bedecked with a beautiful garland extending to his feet and fanned by the wind from buzzing bees, Damodar walked amongst the trees and creepers while the gopis enthusiastically praised his character with sweet voices full of love. To increase their pleasure, Yogamaya acted invisibly and inconceivably to miraculously create the perfect setting. In great happiness, Yogamaya provided the gopis with dresses and ornaments just suitable for their evening pastimes in the forest. Until now, the gopis' clothes and ornaments appeared in disarray due to hastily dressing and rushing from their homes upon hearing Krishna's beckoning flute. Being jewels in the battle of love, they qualified to be reborn in all splendor. Ornamented in this way, Krishna blissfully milked the gopis' pride. Using his fingernail, Krishna wrote love messages on a leaf and gave it to his beloved sakis. Then he showed his expertise in personally decorating them. He picked the best flowers and creepers to make their bodices, armlets, and other ornaments. Quickly he fashioned malati flower necklaces, kadamba forehead ornaments, stalapadma land lotus earrings, kunda flower chokers, and waist belts made from bakula, keshara, and nagakeshara flowers. He tossed pollen over their hair and colored their cheeks with pollen from the lodra flowers. Then the gopis decorated their cherished one. They hung keshara flowers on Krishna's ears, ketaki flowers in his hair, and malika necklaces on his chest. Some gopis put ashoka flowers on his turban. Other gopis offered him yuti flower bangles and bracelets and bound his belly with a belt of bakula flowers. Krishna's remarkable rasa-lila, which had now commenced, included 4 different kinds of activities: forest pastimes, lovemaking, dancing, and water sporting, which distinguished it from all other lilas. In a lonely place in the forest, Krishna relished intimate pastimes with the beautiful gopis of Vrindavan. As the maudlin sound of maddened bees and cuckoos echoed through the trees, the gopis lost themselves in Cupid's enchantment. Those beautiful ladies, whose brilliant golden complexions conquered the pride of the moonlight, merrily sprinkled Krishna's body with fine golden pollen from white lotus flowers. The jingling of the gopis' bangles initiated a fresh battle of love. Krishna retaliated by making some flower bombs and firing them at the gopis. Although the gopis bombarded him from all directions with flower pollen, Krishna easily defeated them. Parrots and other birds shrieked, "Jai, Jai, Jai," to announce Krishna's victory. Filled with a hero's pride, Krishna then pounded Radhika and her sakis with a volley of flower bombs. But Srimati's angry sidelong glances crushed him into submission. Then Radhika's pet Sarika birds warbled incessantly, "We have won! We have won!" In this way, Krishna engaged in newer and newer pleasure pastimes at every moment. Radha plucked some fragrant, honey-filled punaga flowers. When startled bees darted from the flowers, she quickly pulled back her lotus hand and trembled in fright. Noticing this, Krishna shouted, "Hey there! No wonder you are shaking since you have defeated the punaga," that means best of men, or white lotuses. As Krishna laughingly said this, Radhika shyly lowered her head and smiled. Then the clever gopis, piercing Krishna's heart with the arrows of their loving glances, took the flowers they had collected for making ornaments and pelted the Lord while shouting at him with sweet voices. Meanwhile, Radhika stood on her tiptoes and stretched up her vine-like arms to pick a special flower from a tree. Suddenly, her lower garment slipped off. As she looked nervously, Krishna seized the opportunity to sneak up behind Radhika and lift her up. At this, Radha blushed in embarrassment. The intense, unlimited happiness the gopis felt spread to the flowers. As a result, the bees went mad from the naturally sweet scent of the flowers and would not leave them. Similarly, the gopis became addicted to the sweet pastimes they relished with the Lord of their life. Feigning a calamity, one gopi said, "Oh, some pollen has fallen to my eye." Her bangles chimed as she pretended to rub her eye with her lotus hands. With a look of concern, Krishna quickly approached her and said, "Oh no, do not be disturbed, let me see." On the pretext of blowing away the pollen, Krishna moved close to her face and planted a tender, loving kiss on her eye. In this festival of flowers, Krishna churned the waves of love in the hearts of those gopis already overcome with love. Pleased by their bold glances, Krishna desired to enjoy with them. The perfect time had come for delighting in endless pastimes of love. When Radha tried to pick flowers beyond her reach, the trees behaved like close friends and bent down their branches so she could easily pluck them. Fatigued from the flower fighting, Damodar and his band of loving gopis walked to the Yamuna to sport in her refreshing waters. Under the rays of the full moon, the banks of the Yamuna looked as white as fragrant camphor dust. The sandy banks were purified by the hand of Kalindi's waves and caressed by a lotus-scented breeze. Admiring the pleasant setting, Krishna and his divine consorts wandered along the splendid banks of the Yamuna. The brilliance of the riverbank, matching the effulgence of the lovely moonlight night, provided an ideal romantic atmosphere for a festival of love. The playful lotus-eyed Krishna, who is the embodiment of sweetness, totally fearless, ever blissful, and overwhelmed in love, mingled with the different gopi group leaders who murmured like affectionate parrots. Krishna dallied here and there in the decorative kunjas that sheltered various birds. Inside the flower cottages, Krishna freely enjoyed with his beloved gopis the crest jewels among all women. Far greater than either Rukmini or Lakshmi, the Brajagopis alone are qualified to serve that auspicious person with their auspicious bodies. Though the gopis' love radiated the essence of purity, Krishna tainted their love with overwhelming passion in order to feel the pressure of their hard breasts and experience their biting and scratching. There are varieties of Vaidugdhi, cleverness and love, depending on the nature and age of the individual gopis. This artful skill in love produced extraordinary joy in both Damodar and the gopis. For example, although internally the gopis had strong desires for Krishna, when they spoke, they denied them. The unpredictable behavior of the gopis manifested naturally from a mixture of their willingness to serve Krishna and their obstinacy, vamyabhav, or stubborn reluctance. Such actions as obstructing Krishna's advances with their hands to show their shyness, casting angry glances without redness in the eyes, and crying without tears, which arose from their vamyabhav, gave Krishna immense satisfaction. The gopis' incessant criticisms of Krishna hid their sweet smiles, and their knitted eyebrows communicated their false anger. In reality, these expressions revealed the intense attachment to Krishna they held in their hearts. The gopis would turn away when he tried to kiss them, and they would cover their lips with their hands when he tried to drink the nectar therein. They pushed him away when he tried to embrace them. All such displays of unwillingness actually indicated consent to their beloved. Desiring to lock them in his heart, Krishna surrounded the gopis with his long, graceful arms and forcefully embraced them one by one. Holding their braids in his left hand and raising their chins with his right hand, Krishna lovingly gazed at their gentle, bashful faces. Relaxed as a lone bee engrossed in a cluster of lotus flowers, Krishna happily tasted the nectar of the gopis' lips. After being embraced and kissed by the supreme enjoyer, the gopis, being controlled by the joyous fragrance of intoxicated love and filled with constant delight, acted like submissive lovers. Now Krishna scratched their lotus bud breasts with his fingernails, as if relieving the itch of attachment that had arisen in their hearts. The breasts of the gopis looked more attractive when decorated with these nail marks shining with a copper hue. Their blossoming breasts seemed like sprouts arising from the long dormant seeds of attachment sown in their hearts. Krishna, whose touch bestows pleasure and removes all suffering, excited their beautiful limbs with the touch of his delicate petal-like fingers, which acted like a medicinal herb to cure all their afflictions. When his lotus hand touched their breasts, it moved around in continuous circles. When his hand touched their thick braided hair, it caressed it from end to end. Coming to their waist, his hand seemed to tire from the broad expanse and took refuge in the lake of their navels, trying to open them to reveal something within. Due to the intensity of love, the gopis yielded to the fickleness of their minds, gave up all shyness, and submerged in ecstasy. Washed in waves of beauty, they captivated the mind of their beloved. With their sweet, tireless, vine-like arms, the gopis held Krishna in a tight embrace of love, strengthened by contacting his qualities. Such playful combat is considered an aspect of prema. It is not contrary to conjugal ras, but rather essential to it, being one of the pure ingredients of the total mixture. Immersed in this prema ras, the gopis repeatedly kissed Krishna with their sweetly smiling lotus faces. When Krishna's lips were surrounded by the soft lips of the gopis and washed by the brilliant radiance of their teeth, his face appeared like a rising moon surrounded by thirsty chakota birds. Overwhelmed with the highest bliss, the Krishna bee went mad with a desire to play in the garden of creepers, the young gopis. He wanted to be tightly enveloped in the branches of their arms, pressed strongly by the flower buds of their breasts, and to be bruised by the thorns of their fingernails. The Rasa Lila cannot take place unless the minds of all the gopis are in harmony. To accomplish this and to make all gopis of one mind through the fire of separation, Krishna once disappeared from the assembly of his conjugal lovers. In the battle of love, the gopis had attained the highest good fortune by tasting Madhurya Ras in the association of Krishna. Thus, the Braja gopis showed indifference to the opulence of any women within the three worlds. They sailed in the turbulent currents of prema within the lover of love madness, which is the natural habitat of the god of love. When he broke the boat of the gopis' confidence, they had to bail out of the water of pride from their hearts. He purposely bewildered them by his own will, as if placing them on a wheel and spinning them around. Just as badly digested food produces laziness, the gopis' attainment of good fortune weakened and withered away due to the intoxication of pride. In treating the disease of consumption due to pride, a person must be treated with a nourishing herbal medicine to drive away the symptoms of disease. There's nothing to compare with the purity of a piece of white cloth. Dyeing it with the juice of the lodra plant will change its color. The purity of the gopi's love had been colored by the pride of love, which is unfavorable for the growth of bliss. Krishna instantly created a situation of pain and separation, which acted as a solvent to remove the false color. After spreading darkness amidst the moonlight of the gopis' bliss and producing deadly Kalakuta poison in the newly created milk ocean of the gopis' love, Krishna, the embodiment of all art, suddenly disappeared. The thought of this happening seemed as unlikely as throwing fire on delicate filaments of saffron, or lightning striking without clouds, or the pain of a snake bite without a snake. Thus the gopis experienced this torment in their hearts, which constantly flowed with a variety of praiseworthy and pleasurable pastimes.
Radhika, I'm a sangeet sundari Radhika.